good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
My goodness, Christmas is Thursday. I can hardly believe it.
Yes, it is upon us. And I would like to say Merry Christmas to my mother and all my family members. I would like to say Merry Christmas to my goddaughters and godsons. I just want to say Merry Christmas to all that are listening to this radio broadcast. Merry
Amen.
Christmas. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. I'd like to echo those sentiments and wish everyone in my family, friends, Merry, Merry Christmas. And to everyone that has helped make this broadcast possible, to the radio stations, to the sponsors, to the listeners, to everyone that supported us in any way, to the prayer team that prays for us regularly, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful, prosperous, and happy New Year.
Amen.
Luana, let's talk about Christmas. Let's talk about the reason for the season. I love the scripture. There's so many of them. I love the scripture in Isaiah. It's one that will be read many times over during this time of the year. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace."
Now that's the part I like.
I can tell.
And verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and he shall reign upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
Amen. And I agree with you. That is the part I like, that we call him Wonderful. And sometimes we put the two together because he is a wonderful counselor. But the way that scripture is written is he is called Wonderful, comma. And he's called counselor, comma. He's called the Mighty God, comma. And the Everlasting Father, comma. And he is the Prince of Peace. When you think about it, he is wonderful. And I know that they sang a song, "Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful." That's what he is to me.
Yes, he is.
I don't know about you, but God has been my wonderful.
And you know what? He's been my counselor.
And he has been my counselor.
We go through those different attributes and character.
I mean, think about
it.
A counselor you call upon when you are in trouble and you need someone to listen to you and someone to give you counsel and advice. And he is the one I go to when I need someone to, who's someone's shoulder to cry on, when I need someone just to listen to me, and when I need someone to direct my steps and give me counsel. And the good thing about this counselor, he will never give you bad counsel.
He
will never have to come and apologize because he led you astray. But the counsel that the Almighty God gives you, it is always the best counsel because he knows what is best for us.
And then it says the Mighty God. I mean, he's the one, he's the God of all gods. I mean, he is mighty. What he says and what he does, I mean, he's able to do it. And that just shows you that there is no God like our God.
No God like our God. And I do like that because he could have just said the God or God, but he said, no, he is
the mighty God.
And I love it because he is mighty. Make no mistake about it. Never be confused that there is no God like Jehovah. He is a mighty God. I mean, an almighty God.
Then it says the Everlasting Father. Oh my God.
He is the Everlasting Father. From the beginning to the end and everything in between, from everlasting to everlasting. He is your Father. And we spent time talking about it one Sunday, but it is worth repeating. When you think about that, He is my Father, my Shepherd, my Shield, my God, my Counselor, my Wonderful. I mean, He is the one I call Abba, Father. Some people are sad and some people feel deprived because they did not know their natural father. Some people knew their natural father and wished they had a different one. And some people had a wonderful natural father. No matter which category you fall in, none of them compare to the Father God. He is an everlasting Father. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, never abandon you, never be tired or weary of you, never be sorry that He gave you His name and called you His child. He is your Father. And what a privilege it is to be called sons of God.
And then it says the Prince of Peace. And what it shows me is that He is the author of the peace. He is able, like Jesus, when He was in that boat, that He stood up and He said, when the storm was raging, He said, peace be still. And it had to obey Him because He is God over all nature, God over all situations. He is God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the head of
He's the one who gives it. Yes, he's the one who orders it. He's the one who's in charge of it. He's the one that brings it. He's the one that, I mean, there's nothing that happens in your life that He can't steal. Mm-hmm. No storm raging in your life that He can't calm.
That's
nothing
right.
going on in your life that's too hard for God to handle. I mean, when you think about the Prince of anything, that's the one that's in charge and over everything. He is the one that orders the peace in your life.
Yes, He is.
And that's why you want Him to stand up in the midst of your storm and say, peace be still.
That's the reason why even further down He said, the chastisement of your peace is upon Me. He's saying, listen, I'll cause peace to come into your life. This was written in Isaiah 9. This was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus even came upon the scene. Isaiah was telling them, listen, there is coming a deliverer. So that just shows you how powerful God is.
You know what? I like that because this isn't like what we're thinking. We're thinking we see Mary with child, you know, we see the big belly and then we can all prophesy that a child is coming, a son is going to be born. But like you said, this was way before the time of Mary, way before the days of Jesus, that Isaiah, the prophet of God, received revelation of God. I don't even know how much of it he understood when you're foretelling things that far in the future, but he had a revelation and faith enough in God to give what God had given and revealed to him. And he said, there's coming a day that a son will be given and a child will be born. And this is what we will say of Him. He's wonderful. He is a Counselor. He is a Mighty God. He is a Prince of Peace and an Everlasting Father. What an amazing foresight.
Amen. And what it shows as well is that it was spoken of in the Old Testament in Isaiah 9. And then in the New Testament in Matthew, it is this word being fulfilled. Matter of fact, in John, it says, then the word became flesh and it walked among us. Matter of fact, it says His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that's the reason why I like it, because it goes back to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. And they have different functions at different times. And so we have to be appreciative of the gift that God has given us. He looked upon us and saw that we needed a Savior. And He said, I saw none that can deliver. He said, so I'll wrap myself up in flesh and I'll plant myself in the womb of a woman. And He said, and I will be born of a woman and I will come forth the deliverer. My God, that is so powerful. That just shows the wisdom of God.
Amen. And then if you think about it, I love the fact that in Luke 19, He says that for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's talking about the purpose of of why this son had been given. He had been given so that he might seek and to save that which is lost. I don't know about you, LJ Renee, but when I read that scripture, I know that he included me. When he said, whosoever will, let him come, he included me. He came seeking and saving that which was lost. I was one that was lost. And that's why we can say, like the songwriter said, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Because the Son of God came, he sought me. Matter of fact, another songwriter said, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me before I even knew him, and all of my love is due him because he has plunged me into victory beneath his cleansing flood. So I am glad, and it is good news that Jesus Christ came seeking and saving those who were lost. Only the sick folk need a physician, and only the sin sick folks need a savior. I needed a savior, and Jesus filled the bill.
And that's the reason why I like in Isaiah, talking about Isaiah 53 in the fifth verse, you know, even the verses above that talked about how he came, how he was despised and rejected of man. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we are hid as it were our faces from him, for he was despised and we esteemed him not. And then you drop down to verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not only did he come to deliver us, to give us salvation, but he also came with the word deliverance. That also means to come to heal us of every disease and every infirmity. And I remember the time when I had gotten a report about things that were going on in my body, and I had to bow my knee to the Lord because it was worrying me. It was disturbing my peace. And I heard him speak to me and say just these words, the chastisement of our peace. And he says, and with his stripes, you are healed. And then going,
and it speaks in the past tense, you have already been healed. So what you need to do is pray God that healing be applied to your body. And it's not just a physical healing. He comes to heal the mind and the sin sick soul. God comes to heal every part of you. So if you're tormented and troubled in your mind, I know, LJ Renee, at this time of the year, the enemy is really busy causing men and women to think that their life is not worth living, sinking them in the pit of depression,
disturbing their
peace. Some are thinking that they don't want to live anymore. I have been there. Let me tell you this, that God will come to heal even that troubles your mind and your spirit. Let God heal your mind. Matter of fact, there is nothing worse than a mind that's been troubled, a mind that's on edge, a mind that's not at rest. It'll drive you crazy. I pray God right now in the name of Jesus, would you heal the troubled minds. Dear God, would you speak peace as the Prince of Peace? Would you speak peace over the minds of all of your people? I pray God right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that they shall live and not die, that they, Father, shall wake up to a brand new day with brand new mercies and brand new grace and give glory to the only wise God, our Savior. May they know today how much you love them. May they know today day that if they had been the only soul on this earth, you would have died just for them. They know today how precious they are in your sight. May they know today, testify out of their own mouth, that you are the wonderful, that you are the counselor, that you are the mighty God, that you are the everlasting Father, and you are their Prince of Peace.
And that's the reason why in Isaiah 53:10, he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, meaning after all that you have just said, the things that God has done in our lives, the things that he's willing to do, how he's willing to take us into peace, how he's willing to save a sin sick soul, how he's able to save one that's caught in sin. That's the reason why it pleased me, because I knew with my son, he will take all that away.
And that just causes me to rejoice in the God of my salvation, to be glad at what the Lord has done. Won't you fall down on your knees? I mean, can't you hear the angels' voices? It was a night divine when Christ was born. Oh, holy night. Fall on your knees.
It was a holy night. Remember when the angels came to Mary and told her that she will bear a son. And the Bible says that Mary said, all that the scriptures have said, it is pleasing unto me. She says, I will do.
Not only did Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not only did Jesus come that we might be healed. They took Jesus and they beat him with the cat o' nine tail, the whip. And I know you saw them where the flesh was being pulled from his bone. I don't know if you saw Mel Gibson's rendition of it, but I'm telling you, the passion of the Christ.
Oh my God.
It was the most poignant view of him being beat and whipped that I've ever seen. They beat the skin off of his body. That's when he was bruised. That's when he was beaten. And it was because he wanted to take that suffering in your stead, and by his stripes, every single one of them that they put on his body, you have been healed. Not only did he come to heal you, but he also come to destroy the works of the devil.
The works of the devil, my God. And it says it in John, 1 John 3, it says in verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, he says, for this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I am so glad that we are no longer in bondage or in slavery. That's the reason why when Jesus came upon the scene between Malachi and Matthew, it said that they didn't hear a word from God for 400 years. And in that time, the people were suffering from depression, oppression. The rule, the government there had taxed them to no end. They had no light of day. They were in poverty, but it says, but it prophesied that Jesus will be coming to deliver the people of God. And as a result, this scripture means so much. It says that he was manifested that he might, I'm going to say that he will, and he has destroyed the work of the enemy, so that anything that the enemy has put upon you, you know right now that he has been defeated, because now why? Emmanuel, God is with us. He is the one that will destroy and has destroyed the works of the devil. And I am so glad that I don't have to be in bondage no more. I don't have to be bowed down and bent over because of an infirmity. I don't have to be depressed anymore or of a broken heart. Matter of fact, he said he loves us so much. That's the sacrifice that he loves, is that when we come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, because he is able to deliver us from the hand of the enemy.
And not only did he come that he might destroy the works of the devil, but because you have been now birthed into the kingdom of God, he wants you to walk in that same authority and power. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17, when he had sent the disciples out two by two, they came back, it says, and the 70 returned again, and they had great joy, and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us at thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, almost saying, didn't you know he been defeated a long time ago? Behold, then he says in verse 19 of Luke 10, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, don't get excited that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And wasn't that our first point? We are happy because he came to seek and to save our sin-sick soul. He also gave us authority and power over the works of the devil.
And that's the reason why we say Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. You know what? Even when I think about even the incidents in the Bible where he cast out demons, and it says that the man that he cast out the demon from, that he was sitting on a stoop and clothed in his right mind. There was a woman that was bent over from a spirit of infirmity, but he told the woman to stand up and walk, and that she is now healed. There was another woman that wanted to touch the hem of his garment, that she knew that he would stop the flow of blood because of the power, because of the virtue that came out of him. There was another man that was hand was deformed and shrunk up, but because Jesus Christ touched him, his hand was outstretched. There's other occasions where God came, where Jesus came and walked there. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if the Bible, we, if the world,
if the works that he did said were written in the volume of the book that the earth couldn't contain the books. Because he did so many wonderful things.
Because he done so many things and how he healed and set free. He was there was another incident when he raised a young girl off of the bed. Hallelujah. When she was dead. It was, this is a thing that really that they just don't show. I think Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, just stopped right at the edge of it. But when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he gave up the ghost, my God, his spirit went down in the pit of hell and released the captives and made them free. He destroyed the works of the devil. And it was foretold thousands of years ago when David said, basically, don't forget about me. And when Jesus Christ died, he went down into the pit of hell, took the keys of death, sin, and the grave, rose with all power in his hand, and led captivity captive. My God, if that's not power, what is? Merry Christmas.
That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's almost like that scripture is taunting death. It's almost like that scripture is taunting the grave. You thought you were so bad. You thought you had something over our head. But I want you to know that Jesus has come. He has liberated our captive soul. He led captivity captive. And now we can say, oh, death, you've been reigning over us for a long time. We've been afraid of you for a long time. But oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, you thought you had the victory, but where is your victory? He came down and he gave us the victory over death, hell, and the grave. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. I am so grateful that God has come through Jesus Christ to liberate our captive soul, to give us the victory through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad about it? Listen, we're just a few days away from celebrating his birth. Many people are so discouraged and upset because they didn't get their favorite gift. They don't think they've got enough money to buy what they really wanted to buy. But how about you rejoice and be glad, because the greatest gift that could ever be given has already been given to you, and he paid the price for it. He gave you the gift. He's made available, if you've not received it, the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And all you've got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And he said, you will be saved, even like the thief on the cross. Yes. What a wonderful gift he received. He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, won't you remember me? Jesus said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. And he received the gift of eternal life. I might not get the Game Boy I want. I might not get the Wii system I want. I might not get the GoPro I want, or the car that I want, or the trip that I want, but I've received the greatest gift of all, the one that has eternity written behind it, the one that will never grow old, and the one that will never wear out, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. If you haven't received the gift of life, won't you repeat this prayer with us today? Even now, say with me today, if you want to be, if you think we've got a light of zeal and excitement, it can be yours too. Say this prayer with us even now. Dear God, I confess before you that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. I thank you that you have made available to me the gift of eternal life. I believe in my heart that you are Lord over everything, that you are the only begotten Son of God. I believe that you gave your life for the sins of the world, and that on the third day, God raised you from the dead. I believe that I can be saved through the blood of Jesus. I confess this with my mouth. I need a Savior, and I invite you into my heart. Amen. Won't you be Lord of my life? I receive the free gift of salvation in the name of Jesus. And won't you fill me with the Holy Ghost? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We will post this recording onto our iTunes site and onto our website, and you can play this again. Send it to someone else that needs to play it, someone else that needs salvation, and won't you invite them to partake of the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind, the gift that will never grow old, the gift you don't have to buy at the mall, the gift you don't have to order online, and the gift you couldn't afford if you had all the money in the world. This is the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
If you have repeated the sinner's prayer, please go to our webpage. It's www.whatdoesthelordsay.com and leave us a message. We would love to hear from you. Again, it's www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.
Let's not forget, in the middle of the busyness, remember this, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and we wish you all a wonderful, blessed, prosperous, and happy new year. God bless you.